huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means taking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive, but also profitable.
When you use your own reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here, and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. Now, it's very, very rare where I have a guest back and interview them more than once. So there's got to be many special criteria for that. This next guest, so many people ask me to have them back. I've been developing a good friendship with this person. We often catch up when he's in the UK. He travels the world a lot. He's a heavyweight entrepreneur, one of the biggest social media influencers that are alive today. He's got a multi-million, like nearly a billion real estate property portfolio fund, a huge media empire. You've probably guessed who it is. It's Mr. 10X himself, Grant Cardone. This conversation we have is totally different from the first one that we had on the podcast going back, 18 months nearly now, something like that. What I love about Grant is he's very clear who he is, and a lot of the advice and strategies he gives you are often counterintuitive or counter mass perceived common sense. Like, for example, he starts talking about how micromanagement is good and you should micromanage. And he talks about the advice that he was given that was really bad, which is it's not better to be big. Bigger isn't always better. He thinks bigger is always better. So I think you'll find this fascinating. Now, what you may have noticed that we do as well is when we do interviews with good guests and interviews with celebrities and big business people, and we go to them, we are now recording for our YouTube channel and doing the full length video. We're definitely upping our production value, I'm sure you'll agree. So if you subscribe to the Rob Moore YouTube channel, you can watch this video as well as all of the other big guests, and you can see how we interact, and you just get a little bit of a different feel. I think you'll agree, Grant and I have got very good rapport, and that's one of the things that you get when you watch the video that you might not get listening to the podcast. So this on the travels that you're on, or in the gym, walking, on the car, the plane, the train, wherever you are traveling. But if you've got time to sit down, also watch the YouTube videos. And by the way, some of the YouTube videos get hundreds of thousands of views. So that's the Rob Moore official YouTube channel. So thanks for listening to my preamble. Let's get straight in with the podcast with none other than Mr. 10X himself, Grant Cardone.
Damn, right. I thought we were shooting a movie. Look, are we doing Avatar?
Grant, good to see you again.
Come on, man. I love being around you, dude.
Thank you.
No, seriously. Like, you know, I get the chance to meet a lot of people, but I always enjoy being around you.
Thank you. It's getting quite regular, isn't it?
Yeah. We got a thing going.
We have got a thing going.
Now we got to figure out how to make some money
doing it. Just keep doing it. Yeah. So I want to start straight in with something that's been big in the media in the UK.
Okay.
You may have heard of this, you may not. But there's been a bit of a campaign against billionaires.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, there has. There's this thing in the media right now. Why do we need billionaires? Billionaires aren't needed. Yeah. Billionaires hoard money. Billionaires get away with taxes. And there's been a big debate.
Yeah.
Why do we need billionaires? I feel like we need billionaires, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Do we need billionaires, or is it just a waste of money and resource?
Well, it's foolish. Like, it's foolish. There's trillionaires. Like, what makes billionaires? Trillionaires.
Yeah.
So, like, people don't, they're complaining about the wrong thing. How do you have a billionaire? You don't have a billionaire because of millionaires. You got billionaires because of trillionaire companies. Yeah. So these banks, you know, who's getting the pass right now is the big, giant behemoths. And those are the big institutions that are doing trillions of dollars. Forget billions.
Yeah.
Do we need billionaires? Okay. Yeah. We need people taking risk. People need to take more risk. People need to put themselves out there. People need to hire people. There's too many small companies and too much small thinking going on.
Yeah.
So, look, I hope to be a billionaire one day.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to take it from me, because I'm going to figure out some other way to reallocate it.
Yeah.
And do good things with it.
Yeah.
So.
So when people say, "Oh, they hoard it, they don't pay taxes," all this.
Yeah, that's
kind of
not.
Stuff.
But that's not true. Like, I don't pay income taxes in America. Like last year, I didn't pay any income taxes.
Yeah.
But I paid $30 million worth of property taxes.
Yeah.
I also hire, I have 185 people on one payroll and 175 people on another payroll.
Yeah.
So 350 people times what, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
I'm paying $200 million a year or $21 million a year in salaries plus 15% matching.
Yeah.
I'm doing my share, fair share. Now, if I can figure out a way personally to, okay, I'm going to go buy a jet, I'm going to offset my income, not pay any income taxes. Well, I'm going to play every game I can.
Yeah.
And everybody should play every game you can. The problem that people need to complain about right now is not the billionaires. They need to understand that because what they're saying is there's income inequality, wealth inequality. But the reality is there's education inequality.
Mm.
Okay. The billionaires play by a different set of rules than everybody else. So do I blame the guy playing by a different set of rules, or do I blame the game? You know, the old saying about don't hate the player,
hate the game. Yeah.
You need to learn how to win at the game. Yeah. Don't hate anybody. Don't hate the game. Don't hate the player. Learn the game.
Yeah.
And the game of the wealthy, the rules are stacked for wealthy institutions and wealthy families.
Yeah.
And people need to like understand what those rules are.
Yeah, and those games are those rules. Those games.
Investing.
Are, yeah.
Not spending.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a company.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump. Everybody
create
hates
jobs,
him. Huh?
Create jobs.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a job. I'm going to create jobs.
Yeah.
Like the difference is Donald Trump. He buys a building in New York. He lives in it. He doesn't buy a house and live in it.
Yeah.
He buys a building and lives in it, rents out the whole place. He literally gets paid to live where he is, right? And then moves into the White House. So same thing with the Queen, okay? Like look at the play, man.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to take the Queen stuff from her?
Not me.
Nobody is.
No.
Nobody is. People have been trying to take her stuff for 70 years. Ain't nobody taking her stuff.
No.
So this is not a new thing. This is not a new problem. Like, this is thousands of years old. Play the game of the wealthy. Own things. Own businesses. Don't spend money.
Yeah.
Invest money. Don't waste it on cars and bicycles. And like, if you look at the average family in the UK, they will spend ridiculous money on things their kids want. Look, I take care of my kids. But I don't just frivolously buy them junk.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's only $89. I'm going to get it for them. And it's worth nothing the next day. Mm. That's where the difference is.
Yeah.
And then the wealthy, they invest money to connect with people. Okay. Most people go home at night so they can be with their family. The thinking's different.
Mm.
So these guys are going to go to Davos and meet with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. And spend millions making connections, not tens of thousands, millions of dollars, where the average household in the UK is like, I just want to go home tonight, watch TV. And people are getting punished for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's such a massive misunderstanding between producers and consumers. I mean, the billionaires produce. The people who complain about them consume. What value is being created?
Yeah.
I believe that people are rewarded fairly based on the value that they create, even if we don't agree on the value that they create.
Yeah.
Because we're in a capitalist society and the merit is the money and the wealth. And
in
England, you've got VAT, value-added tax, you've got corporation tax, you've got national insurance, you've got employers and employers' national insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got their taxes.
Yeah.
You've got also like in property, you've got stamp duty and all these taxes that are generated. So all these people complaining about the billionaires are creating virtually the whole economy. And the millionaires.
Well, they won. They played a game and they won it.
Yeah.
You don't want to take their chips from them.
No. Or disincentivize winning.
I think the hating really, and I talk about this all the time, that people that hate on me or hate on anything, really, like when I look at that, every one of them has quit. The thing you're hating on, you quit on.
Mm.
And I remember a guy walking out of a, I think it was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, saying, "This doesn't work," as he drank.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Of course it didn't work. And now you're going to rag on it. You know, the person goes to an event. They had an opportunity to buy some program at the event, didn't. That's the only people that complain about people selling stuff at events. Mm. The only complainers in the room, I've been doing this 30 years. The only people that ever complain when they leave an event. "Well, they tried to sell me stuff and it was a big pitch thing." You didn't buy anything, did you? Okay, the same thing about a charity. Like you go to a charity event. The only people that complain about a charity event, "Oh, it was too long, entertainment wasn't good, the food was no good." You didn't give anything, did you?
Yeah.
Like there's something.
Value.
When I quit,
yeah.
I want to hate.
Right, yeah.
When I quit on being a billionaire, then I'm like, okay, I got to hate the billionaires. Because yeah. Everybody that's watching this right now, you could be a billionaire if you made a decision. Number two, got in the right vehicle. And three, didn't quit on it.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. Anybody could do it.
Right. All right, we'll come to that in a minute. We were talking before the cameras went on, and something you said was really interesting, and that is you're a micromanager.
Yeah,
And that's not the popular speak at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So why do you love micromanaging, and why can't
you love it.
Or why do you have to do it?
I don't love it. It's just survival. Like, yeah. It's like if you have a heart attack, do you want to be micromanaged?
Yeah, probably.
I'm like, dude, put everything on me. You put things on me, on top of me, in me. You do whatever you got to do. Yeah. Make sure every freaking vital I got going is working. So, you know, I operate my business like it's an organism that needs its vitals checked, you know, and it needs some prodding.
But why by you all the time? Why not someone else?
Well, because I tend to be the one most interested. You know, I'm the one most interested, and I have an eye for things that other people, for whatever reason, don't see.
Mm.
So rather than me getting furious about them not doing it or not seeing it or quitting, okay, just turn it over to them. I mean, what does that mean? Turn it over to them. Who? Turn it over to who? The idiots? The crazies? I worked at a company, okay? Turn it over to Grant. I'm 26 years old. I'm worried about one thing, paying my bills this month. I'm not worried about the company, man. How are you going to turn that over to me? I'm not ready to have something turned over to me.
Mm.
You've met enough managers and CEOs and vice presidents. You know, Jared's a good guy. Jared's been with me 10 years. I ain't turning it over to him. 10 years. He just got a new baby.
Yeah.
So what does he have now? He's got a company, he's got me, he's got his wife, now he's got Jake. He doesn't see some stuff because his mind's filled with, okay, I gotta take care of my wife this month. I can't wait to see Jake this afternoon when I get home. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. We set up a landing page. It's not right. He didn't see it. He told Bob, do the landing page, and never looked at it again. See, I tell Bob, do the landing page. I'm like, Bob, do the landing page? Show me the landing page. I mean, I trust no one. I trust no one.
Your wife?
To do their job. No.
No.
Show me. How much did you spend at Chanel? Show me. I want to see it, dude. Like, because if you don't know, because most of the time she's going to be like, if you see her, you ought to try to get this clip. Okay? Say, hey, what is the one thing that drives that guy crazier than anything? When you don't know.
Yeah.
And if you go back to your staff and just say, hey, what are the stats today, dude? What do we do today? They don't know.
Mm.
So if it's a really important stat, look, I don't micromanage everything, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like I do everything. But the important things, I want to know every detail.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think that a lot of executives have checked out. You know, they've checked out of the company.
Yeah.
And they're not paying attention anymore. No, they got it. I'm delegating it. So what I do is I get graphs on every important statistic in the organization. Every day, okay? My cash accounts, I see them every morning. Is that micromanaging? Every cash account I have.
Or maybe it's transparency of what's going on in your business.
I want to see it, dude.
Yeah.
Show me.
Yeah.
Statistics, I want to know. The more important the graph is, the more important the statistic is, the more often I want to see a number, an update on it. So like we're getting ready for our growth conference, okay? We're, November, December, January. We're about 90 days out. Somewhere in the next week or so, I'll be like, I want to report every 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, I want to report. Now, what's that going to do to Jared and the team?
You'll have another baby.
Zero. We got zero this 15 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Hey, move that fucking bar. Move it. Move it, man. Okay. I want to get this thing sold out. I do not want to be worried about this thing later.
Yeah.
So I either micromanage now or wait until the thing's in cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
It's my business, man. Okay. My kids are crossing the street. I micromanage them.
Yeah.
I don't want them getting hit by the car. I trust them, but I need to make sure they make it across the street.
Yeah. And do you get to a point where you can let things go to people? Like you trust?
Yeah.
Do you ever trust them, or do they just need 30 years with you?
No, I mean, like, do I ever trust who? Give me a situation.
That's a good point. Okay, so key members of your team. Your staff,
No. I'm doing a $135 million real estate deal. There's a point where that deal gets where it gets weird, okay, where the negotiations are getting grinded down. I was telling you this before the interview. I know Ryan can't. There's no way. It's impossible for him to know how to handle this situation. It would take 30 years of experience to know how to handle the negotiations. Because some of this stuff is very nebulous, like, what was the tone of the dude when he said no? Because you could say no one way, and you could say no with too much effort, you know. Or there's a broker involved.
Can you not teach these guys this stuff?
No. Some of this is not teachable. Some of this is time, man. I'm 61 years old. Some of this, I could read about this in a book when I was 26. Until you're in deals, and another deal, and a third deal, and a fourth deal, and you start like hundreds and then thousands of deals, you know, you got to feel it. And you know, some things you just, when somebody says something, like, it's different today than when you know, 20 years ago. Now I'm like, oh, he just lied to me. Like, I know now. And if I'm aware, if I'm paying attention, Ryan doesn't know that. He's been doing deals for 3 or 4 years. I've been doing deals for 30 years. I mean, I'm 9 times more years. Yeah. So, you know, it's, when Jared's negotiating with somebody, or we're negotiating for, I mean, I was doing a deal yesterday, right? And it's just like, I hung up the phone, and Jared's like, wow, dude, that was crazy. And he just misses some moments just because of timing, or just because of experience. Tom Brady's gotta have, because of his 19 years of winning seasons, he's got to know something a new quarterback doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. If you look at the winning teams, they put their key players in. And I'm not managing the toilets. I'm not managing a construction job. I said, hey, this is the way I'd like it to look. You guys get it done. When is it going to be finished?
Yeah.
But if it's a landing page, like, a landing page is a big deal for me. Like, I am landing page freak. Okay, I love landing pages because they're so financially profitable.
Yeah, they are.
And we set up a deal the other day. I want to do this tour around the United States. And I said, guys, I want these 6 cities on a landing page. What did they do? They put it on a website. They put it on grantcardone.com. I said, guys, I did it. I mean, I told them exactly what I wanted. But they got a lot going on. So I got to go back and what? I got to go micromanage it, dude. I don't want it. I want a landing page, dude. I don't want that. Okay. I don't like these colors. I like these colors. Okay. Yeah. They want to do an A-B test. I don't want to do an A-B test. I want to do the GC test. Okay? I want to do the GC.
You practiced that one in the mirror. That sounded like you scripted that one.
No, I didn't. No, we're doing the GT. See, we play this game in my office. Okay. It's called Grant Wrong. I know some of your viewers are going to hate this. Man, this guy's obnoxious. Okay.
I think most of them will actually like this.
So, I used to make $3 million a year. We're going to do $155 million in one company this year, and just got another company that'll do $400 million. So, and I figured out how to have enough energy to pay attention to all this stuff. I'm playing a chessboard, and I'm moving all the pieces around.
Yeah.
I wrote in my book, Life Leverage, about leveraging your time. Let's be honest, no one is getting less busy. And 2 things that have really changed my life in terms of information and the speed of information is audiobooks on 2x speed and podcasts like this. But there's a company, I believe, that are really changing the game. They're called Blinkist, and they condense the best books into 15-minute summaries. Blinkist have an ever-growing library. I personally really like Sapiens. I also like Start With Why by Simon Sinek, and I think you will like it when all my books are on there. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist have a special offer that I've agreed with them just for my podcast listeners. You need to go to Blinkist.com/Rob to start your 7-day trial. And Blinkist is spelt B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. That's Blinkist.com/Rob to start your 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/Rob. Right, let's get back into the episode.
I'm just going to keep moving stuff until I get the graph to go up. That's the whole goal. The goal is not to be right. Okay, if it's Grant wrong, let's get everybody behind Grant wrong. Because what I don't want is Grant, Jared, Sherry, Ryan, Bob, John, Rob, all having different ideas and we spend 2 hours in a meeting.
So there's a couple of loops I think that's opened. Before the cameras went on, we were talking about, you basically said, I should probably just do real estate. I guess because of the money. But you're an influencer, you do social media, you've got your businesses, you've got your sales, you've got your sales training, you've got a lot of things. So I had it as a question here, you know, how do you want to be known? When you do all these things, how do you want to be known? And then that might be linked to, why don't you just do one thing like real estate?
Yeah. I mean, I want to be known for helping people. No, nobody's going to remember how much real estate I bought or the plane I flew in or how much money I have. Nobody. Nobody's ever remembered for that.
No.
Bill Gates won't be remembered for being the richest person in the world. He'll be remembered for, hey, he did something special on the planet. And he will. And he will because he has money. Back to that billionaire thing. So it takes money to move things, man. You're not going to move the bar on anything on this planet today. You're not going to Mother Teresa something today. Those days are over. You know, if Mother Teresa was in her prime right now, she would need a Gulfstream to make a difference. She needs to move around. If Jesus was alive, he would have a fleet of Gulfstreams. He would have satellite distribution. He would definitely be doing a stream today.
Yeah. Well, Dalai Lama, big on Facebook, got a huge following. Yeah.
You got to play the game now. Yeah. Right? You got to be able to move to where the power is. And so, in all these, even back 2,000 years ago, you had to leave. You have to leave your home. I live in Miami. I'm here. Jesus left. Like, everybody's had to leave. Martin Luther King had to leave his home. Like, every great player on the planet has had to leave. Mark Zuckerberg had to leave college to go to Silicon Valley. So what do I want to be remembered for? I mean, I know I'm going to be remembered for helping people. And I'm going to be remembered for this 10X thing. Never planned the 10X thing. Like, but I'm going to be remembered for that. I used to think I was going to be remembered as this sales guy. You know, the greatest salesman in the world. People aren't even talking about me as a salesman anymore.
Yeah.
I did this interview the other day. A guy keeps asking about how to handle this one objection. I'm like, dude, get over it, bro. Like, when are you going to finally grow up and start being a businessman rather than a salesman? You're still worried about how to sell a pen. I'm trying to figure out how to buy a pen company. So I think people are going to say, hey, this guy was a help me. He was a driver. He was hard dude. He pushed you. You're either going to hate me at the end or you're going to be like, that dude pushed me to do great things. I mean, Mr. Olympic over here, you know, Mr. Universe. Yeah. Somebody pushed him. He didn't push himself.
No.
Somebody else pushed him to get that little bit extra out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think accountability is underrated. I think the easiest person to lie to is yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it's competition or team or husband or wife or partner or need for success.
And it's not always the family members that can do it. Like sometimes I need to hear from somebody other than the person I sleep with or my mommy and daddy, you know, because mommy and daddy are just going to be like, I love you just the way you are.
Yeah.
But when you start getting input from somebody outside your bloodline, you know, I remember a guy about 4 or 5 years ago, he just sold his company. He was worth $4.4 billion at the time. He just had a big score. But he had had a lifetime of doing deals, you know, and this one thing finally hit. And his impression of me was completely different than what anybody else says of me. And what he told me was, hey, Grant, you can do more. Like, and when he said that, it was just like, wow, from him. You can do more, Grant. Grant, you should do more. Grant, you must do more. And I was like, wow. It just it was riveting. And at that time, I was looking at buying the jet. He's like, you absolutely should buy a jet. You should. And he's not a wasteful guy. This is a fairly frugal guy. Mm. He didn't waste money. He didn't show off. He's never on social media. And he says, look, you have the gift to help a lot of people, man. You're an extremely transparent person. You tell people like it is. You want to. You want to help people. And he's like, you need to go travel the world and make sure you help people. Mm. And so that was an inspiration from a guy that's done a lot.
Yeah.
As opposed to my family saying, like, if it's a family member, this is what I'm going to hear most of the time. Man, don't you think you're working too hard? Mm. Huh? Don't you think you're doing too much? When's enough enough? When are you just going to be happy? Are you spending enough time with the kids? You enjoying life? This, these little things they drop. I know you hear this. When are you just going to be satisfied with Rob? You know?
Yeah.
But this guy, looking in, said, dude, you can do more.
Yeah.
And people need that outside inspiration and accountability.
I want to take you back a bit. Obviously, you're everywhere doing great things at the moment. But
What do you mean at the moment?
At the moment.
It sounds like the wheels are going to fall off.
But no, but you can do more. You can do more. Thank you. But you struggled with drugs, alcohol when you were younger. and I don't, I've heard a bit about that, but I like to get to know the person, not what I hear on other platforms.
Yeah. Thank you.
How did you get lost in drugs and alcohol? And how did you shift out of it and quit it?
Yeah. So my dad died when I was 10. I'm not blaming the drugs on my dad dying, but what happened? Well, what happened was when there's no male figure in a family, worldwide, these numbers, drug addiction, incarceration, suicides, like grades, not completing schools, every major indicator for a kid, girl or boy, when there's no father present, they get destroyed. Mm. I think suicide rates are 6 times, drug addictions 12 times, incarcerations 4 or 5 times. So when I was 10, my dad died. 16, I got introduced to drugs. And I didn't plan on being a drug addict. I'm going to be addicted to drugs. I'm going to do every drug there is, right? And then the next thing you know, within a year, I was doing every drug there was. Like, if you had a drug, I would do it. And I don't know what happened. I think I went to treatment when I was 25. Between the ages of 16 and 25, 9 years, Rob, I quit. I tried to quit drugs for 10 times a day for 9 years. Mm. I would wake up in the morning. Okay, I'm not going to use any drugs today. I'm probably 18 years old. I'm a good kid. I grew up in a good kid, good family. Nobody beat me up. We had a roof over our head. There was nothing terrible happened to me. I wasn't sodomized. Nobody. No, there was no incest.
Your dad died when you were 10. That's pretty fucking horrific. Like, that would be my biggest fear, probably along with something happened to my kids.
Yeah.
So you say nothing bad happened to you, but that's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, but you know, hey, dude, I mean, people do die, you know.
So yeah, like, but you don't have that outlook on life when you're 10, do you?
Yeah, but not everybody that their dad dies that goes out and becomes a drug addict. See, I think there was a
point. So why did you then?
I think what happened, I don't know that I would not have become a drug addict had my dad stayed alive. I don't know that.
Yeah.
If there was as much boredom in my life between 10 years old and 16, and then 16 to 20. Like the other thing that people should look at is, like, I hated school. I hated going to a classroom. I hated sitting there for 50 minutes. I hated that I didn't sign up for any of this bullshit. You know, I liked the math class. That was the class I liked. And I liked the typing class because she was hot. You know, but every other class was like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
And why am I trapped in this room? And why do I have to do this? Had I done school the 12 years, the first 12 years, is that what y'all do here?
The year 15.
Oh, 15 years?
Yeah, so 15, then you start choosing what your grades are. So six.
No, six.
Five or six to 15.
Yeah, well, that's 9 years.
Oh, so yeah, sorry.
What we do 12 years, right? First grade to the 12th grade. So if they'd have done those 12 grades in six, and I was getting out at 12, I probably wouldn't have used drugs.
Yeah.
I was in boredom, man.
Yeah.
Like, when I look back today, the thing that always causes me problems is boredom.
Mm.
If I'm bored, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
Something's going to get wrecked. Something's going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
And I was bored all the time in school. So when some dude passed me some weed, you know, I'm looking for male influence.
Mm.
Hey, man, what do you think? And my brother was looking for it. I had a twin brother. I have a twin brother. And so the next thing you know, we're using drugs every day. So every day I'm like, I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it today. 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to do it today. 9 o'clock, I'm doing it. Okay,
that's it. Does that kill your self-esteem?
Oh,
when you know
God,
you can't? Yeah. Ed Milet said to me, keeping the promises to yourself is what creates good self-esteem.
Was destroying myself.
Yeah.
Love Ed, by the way.
Mm.
Destroying myself every day. The drugs are one thing. The sense of personal
can't
degradation.
Can't even keep a promise to yourself for an hour.
Yeah. Not even an hour.
Man. Yeah.
So by the time I'm 25, I have failed myself, whatever that number is, 10, 90 times.
Yeah.
365 days a year, every day. I did it. I was so disgusted with myself by the time I was 23 years old.
Mm.
And then the people you start hanging around are terrible, you know, because they're all similar people. And so I was miserable, dude. I was 135 pounds. I weigh 170 pounds today. So I was 30% lighter than I am. I was sick.
Mm.
I was gray, ashy gray.
Yeah.
Overdosed 3 times. It was terrible. Nobody would even know that was me today. And then, so my mom said, hey, don't come here anymore. She had enough. And I went to a treatment center 2 weeks later.
Did you check yourself in, did you?
Yeah.
Mm. So you think your mom did you a bit of a favor there?
Oh, did me a big favor.
Mm.
I'm like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't you cut me off earlier? So I went to a treatment center, and when I was leaving, I was there 28 days. I got there second or third day. I got there. I don't remember the first 2 days. You know, so third day I'm there. What's the guy's name? Ben. Ben must have been 65. He's probably my age then. He looked like he was 90. And I'm like, man. He's like, I said, what took you so long to get here, Ben? And he's like, huh? I said, what took you so long to get here, man? He's like, oh yeah, I've been da da da. He's like, how old are you? I said, I'm 25. I said, man, why don't you hit bottom faster? Like, I was going at it so hard at the end that I was trying to hit bottom.
Yeah.
I was trying to get caught. I was trying to get pushed into some change.
Mm.
And so when I walked out of that treatment center after 28 days, the counselor there, I think his name was Phil. Phil said, I'll see you back here. I said, what? I'm never coming back. He's like, oh, you're coming back. He says, look, man, you have too many grandiose ideas. You want to write books. Because you go there and you spill your guts, right? And he's like, you a guy like you, you're too grandiose, too many big ideas. You want to be rich. You want to write books. He's like, you should just be satisfied if you never use drugs again. I said, fuck you, dude. I ain't coming back here.
And another great gift to you.
See, him?
Yeah. I mean,
that was a gift, dude.
Well,
stop
it is a gift. Surely that's a bit of motivation.
Now, you're being too optimistic. Being too positive.
But, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, they said this to me and they said that to me and they don't want me to succeed, dude, and they hate on me. But that's motivation, isn't it?
No, that guy. I hear you, but that guy... Yeah. You're just being too. You're starting to act like an American.
Maybe so, you should adopt me. I'm probably the most.
Sure.
I'm probably the most American English person that is alive. I'd say.
Maybe that's why I like you so much. So no. This dude is. Look, people. I need to do more than just not use drugs. Your life cannot be about I'm just not going to use drugs and I'm not going to drink today.
Mm.
You know what are you going to contribute? If I was not contributing to society today, I'd be using drugs.
Yeah.
If I wasn't the author, if I'm meant to write books and I don't, where's all that energy going?
Mm.
This is what I wrote about in Be Obsessed or Be Average. My obsessions and addictions were never the problem. It was the direction of the obsessions and the addictions. So people are like, dude, the people that hate on me, my contemporaries, okay, my peers, they hate my work ethic. They're like, dude, the guy is unstoppable. Like, because it becomes threatening. They're like, this guy, if they put in 8 hours or 10 hours a day, they know I'm doing 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 hours. They know the guy doesn't stop. It just keeps pouring it on.
Yeah.
And where does that energy come from?
Well, that's what I want.
All I did was convert.
Right. Can I quickly ask you that? Yeah, sorry to jump in because otherwise I'll lose it. Because you said earlier, you know, you manage your energy well, you move all your pieces around the chessboard.
I'd love
to talk about that.
Yeah.
How do you manage your energy? How do you balance all these things that you're doing? Yeah. How do you do the 15 hours a day? How do you stay? I mean, you're always smiling. Every time I see you, you're always smiling.
Oh, yeah,
even when you're saying something hard, there's a smile. Yeah, exactly. But I just want to say I love that about you.
Oh, thank you, man.
Because you make me want to smile more.
Yeah.
And you make me want to do more of my own shit. But not everyone can manage their energy, and everyone has bad days.
Not everybody takes responsibility for their energy.
Okay, yeah, good distinction.
The thing to do is to take responsibility for the energy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't manage anything. I manage nothing.
Except micromanaging.
No, I don't think I'm managing. I think I'm running, controlling. Right. I think I'm running the operation.
Yeah.
So like time.
So what's the difference between running and managing?
Well, because I think I come in today, we fly into London. We get here 11:15. I don't know what I'm going to do next. There's 5,000 people out there. Somebody sends me a text. Okay, this is what your day looks like. Okay, now I start running and hustling from one thing to the next thing. In between, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jam stuff in between events so that I leave this. I'm going to be here 8 or 9 hours. I'm going to leave this, and it's going to feel like I was here 8 days.
Mm.
And so I'm going to jam as much in so I don't get in trouble, because the more active I am, I'm creating time, basically.
Mm.
I'm not trying to manage time. I'm not trying to manage my day. I'm trying to create my day.
Yeah.
So I look at everything as like I'm creating something. I'm creating, always in creation, because that keeps me from being effect. So I'm either going to be pushing this thing or it's going to be pushing on me. And, I don't fly the plane. I can only push as much as my skills allow me to.
Yeah.
So I can tell the guys from the back, hey guys, give us a good straight landing right down the middle, okay? Get us a little faster, get us a little higher. But I'm just bullshitting from the back because I can't fly the plane, you know? I'm in the back of the plane. You guys are doing great up there, right? Okay? So keep it straight when you land, right? Don't wreck this thing, don't damage it, right? I'm just bullshitting from the back.
Yeah.
You guys, autopilot. That's all y'all do up there, right? I make this joke about pilots. I'm like, anybody can fly a plane. Not just anyone can buy a plane.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of tongue in cheek thing, because I can't fly a plane. So it doesn't matter how much I want to, I can't. I can't micromanage that. But what I can do when I'm on the plane, like last night, we got on at 10 o'clock. Got to the airport at 9:45, walked on the plane, beds are made, 2 kids, a nanny, Elena, all have our little separate beds. Bam, we knock out. We wake up at 11:15 this morning here. So I'm refreshed, ready to go. And then somebody sends me a little thing and says, this is what you're doing today. First, you got Rob Moore. I said, oh, God damn, not that guy. That dude. Okay, so then we'll bang, 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 bang. And then we're going to leave out here about 9 o'clock tonight, go to Dubai, and do that all over again.
Mm.
So that's how every day works, okay? Except for today, when I woke up here, somewhere this morning, somebody, when they wake up, is going to send me, the first thing that happens to me every morning is I get a cash account.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
So I say, okay. Okay, nobody's stealing from me. Okay, those numbers are getting bigger. Okay, that one went down. Okay, I know this money's going here. I need money, man. I'm playing chess. Those are my pieces.
Mm.
And if I didn't have money, it would be, okay, what's my time? It's either money or time. Which one am I running?
Yeah. Can I add one thing?
Yeah, please.
Because I've got this theory.
Yeah. I love your theories.
Thank you. So I think a lot of people talk about burnout, working too hard, people have energy and don't have energy.
Yeah.
And I think they miss one thing. I believe energy comes from doing what you love and being passionate about it. Because, you know, like if you study the universities, the lights that were on at 3 a.m. were the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. You have a kid playing a computer game. He's not like, oh, I need a break every 15 minutes playing this computer game.
Yeah.
He's playing this computer game for 10 hours, no break, no lunch, not going to the toilet.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when you're
yeah,
doing yeah, yeah. something you really enjoy, the passion, for me, that's as good an energy as going to the gym or eating good food or getting rest. What do you think about that?
You know, look, I don't think I don't think that people burn out. I think it's impossible. I'm not a piece of wax. I'm not a candle.
Mm.
So the burnout thing was put on us by people that quit already. Yeah. Oh, you're going to burn out, dude. You're going to burn out. Burnout is never about work. Nobody burns out because they work too hard. Oh, you're burning the candle at both ends. I'm a spiritual being. I can create energy. This is an irresponsibility. Like, I've never met a human being that was made of wax. You know? Oh, yeah, but yeah, I'm burning at both ends. Dude, you're a being. You're a being, okay? Like, quit saying something's happening to you. This goes back to cause and effect. Mm. I create energy. And I love your example of the kids. Okay, that kid can play that game. It's always a game, though.
Yeah, all day, all night.
It's always a game. Mm. There's nothing that entertains people more than a game. And so when I was 18 years old, man, I was playing a game called Asteroids. I would play $80 of it a day because it cost a quarter every game, right? And I'm just throwing them in, doing anything I can to get quarters so I can dump them into this game. Mm. And I was trying to get to the next level. Look at how people play Candy Crush, 700 levels. And they're still looking for the next level over and over again. It's games, man. Mm. And that energy doesn't run out until you hit boredom. Because you can see a kid play a game too long, and then they start getting like kind of smashed in, and their attitude gets bad because they've been playing that same game too long.
Yeah.
So I know that as long as I'm interested, not for me, not passionate.
What's the difference for you?
Well, for me, I need to be able to win at a game. If there's a chance I can win, I'll be excited about the game. If there's no chance to win, I have no interest. So for me, the idea that I'm going to follow my passions is a little bit diluted for me. I think people are looking for their passion. I would not follow my passion. I would follow the wins.
Right. So are you saying there's things that you could really enjoy, but you don't think you could win? Is that what you mean?
I think if there's no victory, the passion is a little bit narcissistic. Mm. Like, oh, I'm meant to be an artist. Maybe ain't nobody buying your art. Nobody's buying it. All you're doing is stacking art. Okay, it's so selfish. I do this for me. Makes me feel good. 7 billion people on this planet, man. Yeah. Like, if you keep all this to yourself, sooner or later, you're just gonna look like a junkyard around you. And at some point, you're gonna see this person cave in depression. Mm. And it's like where do you get the art out? Like, you know, like I love watches, right?
So most do of my I. So do I.
Yeah. Most of my watches end up on somebody else's arm.
Yeah.
Like I have it for a while, I love it for a while, and then I'm like, here, you have it.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, it needs to get out, and I have a victory in that.
Yeah.
I see it on somebody else's arm, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And so if I write a book and the book doesn't get sold, I'm not gonna be excited about that book. Mm. I need the book in hands of other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm buying real estate and I can't actually make money on it, I'm probably not gonna be excited about that game very long. Every time I buy a piece of real estate, I lose money.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, you know what? I ain't got any passion for real estate anymore.
You know? Yeah. Now that's I like that because it's more specific. Because a lot of people say just do what you love.
I would tell people to follow the money. That's what I would tell people. Yeah. Follow the money.
But follow the victories. In a way that in a game you maybe enjoy and you've got some interest in.
Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe you don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're not going to enjoy it if you never paid for it.
Yeah.
If the world will not reward you, if the world will not say, here, I want to exchange something I find valuable with something you do, you know, you might want to look at a different thing to do. Mm. Because if it's valuable, people will pay you for it.
Yeah. So something you said before the interview, but then I picked up something. I'm fascinated by this. So you said to this older guy who was in the rehab center, why didn't you get to the bottom faster?
Yeah.
And before the cameras came on, you're like, I don't care if it's good, I want it fast.
So
just talk about that, because I think speed is so important nowadays.
Dude, it is so important. So like, and people that can move fast, you know, they have confidence.
Yeah, because procrastination, the curse of perfectionism, I think a lot of people want everything to be right and good. There's a big difference between being a surgeon and a pilot, where you do have to follow a process and you do have to get good. But as an entrepreneur, you can get things out when the ink isn't dry.
Yeah. So I agree. Like you're not going to hear an argument from me. I agree.
I just want to hear your side of it,
No, look, I would rather fast than perfect.
Yeah.
I'd rather I'll post something that's got grammatical issues. The first book I ever wrote had hundreds of misspelled words, not a few, hundreds of them. Mm. And a guy, I remember a guy, first person that told me about him, I didn't see him. I wrote it. It wasn't a ghostwriter. I wrote the book. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang. So the guy calls me and says, man, you got hundreds of misspelled words. I have a spreadsheet. He's trying to be of service to me. He's like, he sends me a spreadsheet, grammar, colon, semicolon. I use semicolons where there should be colons, commas where there should be periods. And he's like, run on sentences. And he sends me this whole spreadsheet, like 40 pages of corrections. I said, man, thanks for doing that. Yeah, man, he's like, I just want to be sure you get it right. I said, bro, it's a best-selling book. It's a best-selling fucking book. And he's like, huh? I said, it's a bestseller, son. It's not a best-written.
Yeah.
It ain't a perfect grammar book. Like, I've never been perfect. I'm sloppy. I push hard. I push fast. But I'd rather, you know, I remember Bill Gates. Bill Gates says, look, if Microsoft can't be the best, let's make it look like it's the best. You know, when China was ripping Bill off, he's like, if they're going to rip somebody off, let's make sure they rip off Microsoft.
Mm.
Like, the attitude is like, get to the market. You know, get to the market, be in the market, put it in people's hands. We can fix it later. If you look at this little device right here, they came out with an 11. The 11 had so many bugs in it. Every day people were getting, you've been updated. Updated is code for phone was fucked up. Yeah. And we had to push it out because we want to hit our quarter. Yeah. We want to keep people excited with new products. Mm. So we're willing to hit people with a new product that's got bugs in it. Now the perfectionist says, no, we need to wait. Okay, we got to get it perfect. We got to get it fixed, which means you're going to get slaughtered in the marketplace by a beast that runs faster and dominates the market and overwhelms the customer with new products while you're sitting back in your laboratory saying, hey, we're going to make it perfect.
Mm.
That goes for the artist, to the businessman, to the musician, to everyone. This is why men have an advantage in social media over women. Because women got to do the filter, got to fix their hair, got to do their makeup.
Or bodybuilding world champions.
He's got to go pump first.
Yeah.
Ty's back there, Ty Lopez. He's back there. Ty's a friend of mine. He's back there pumping up right now. Yeah. He's trying to get his pecs swollen. You know? So like you watch my social media, most of it's not planned. Not 90% of it's not planned. Mm. I have bad hair days. I say the wrong things. I want to push product out. I'd rather frequency and speed over quality.
Mm.
And I'll figure the quality out as I go.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you've got followers, you get enough feedback from them, they can give you the best ideas for your product if it's out there, because they can give you the feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But, you know, I'd rather have them complain about something they got than admiring something they got from somebody else.
Mm.
So I don't mind it. It doesn't have to be. I never go into anything thinking it's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
When we did our growth conference last year, 35,000 people in Marlins Stadium. Sherry asked me, Sherry's our CEO. And she's like, hey, what do you want to accomplish this? I said, I want people to walk in the room. When they walk in, I want them to look around and say, fuck, I'll never do anything the way I was doing it. I don't want us to do one thing. I want people to walk in, look around, left, look right, and then say, damn. I need to do things bigger.
Mm.
I'll never do my life the way I do. And I don't want to have to do anything to do that. I just wanted to walk in and be so impressed with the space. And I didn't want the event to be perfect or go perfect or everybody to be happy. 94% of the people said they'd come back. 6%? Whatever.
Mm.
I'm surprised we even got them to go once.
And on that note.
Yeah.
Haters, critics, trolls.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We sometimes call them wankers in England.
Wankers. Clickbaiters.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on dealing with them? Because it's a big thing for people. I know probably not so much for you, but it is a big thing for people.
Oh, no, it's huge for me.
Yeah.
Nobody's got more haters than
I have. But it stops a lot of people and me, it doesn't stop you.
Yeah, because I you know, it's a different... For me, like, I understand that... If you're going to get success, you're going to get the haters.
That's the price.
One of the costs.
That's one of the prices. Yeah. Okay. So because it goes back to what I said earlier, all haters, first of all, we should not admire haters the way we do. We even call them haters. They're not haters. They're quitters. Mm. They're quitters. All haters are quitters. Like this should be the title of your
all
thing.
All haters are quitters. Yeah.
All haters. Yeah. All haters.
Yeah.
Including me. Anytime I hate on something, okay, yeah. I quit on that thing. Like I hate drugs. I quit drugs. I hate drugs. I hate people that use drugs. I don't trust people that use drugs. Like no drug is safe for me. And I believe that no drug is safe for other people. Now, some people are gonna be like, no, I'm using cannabis recreational, it's cool, man, and I use psychedelics and I do this. Good, dude, I hate drugs. I wanna make it clear, I fucking hate drugs. And I hate drugs for you and I hate drugs for him, I hate drugs for everybody. So I can be wrong, but right now, I'm gonna hate drugs. Why? Because I quit drugs. Now, if you're hating on Grant Cardone, and I hadn't done anything to you, I'm over here minding my own business, or building my own business, you know, minding, micromanaging my own business so it grows. So if I'm doing that, okay, and you're hating on me, why are you hating on me? He uses social media too much. These are every example I go over. It's because you don't use it enough. He works too much. It's because you don't work enough. He doesn't spend enough time with his kids. You don't even have kids. Like I got people hating on me because I got my kids on my plane. Oh, you're going to ruin your kids. If I'm gonna ruin my kids, I'm gonna ruin them private. You know? So, what are you quitting on? Like, so it's very, very important for me. Like, when I hate on somebody, I need to understand, did I quit on something? Yeah. Or am I legitimately hating on this person for a reason? Because I'm trying to make a statement publicly. Mm. And there are people I publicly hate on.
Why do you do that?
Because I wanna make it clear that they should not be doing business with this person. They should not be admiring this person. They should not, like as an opinion leader, I think I have some responsibility to tell people, you don't want to follow that. If you're going to follow him, don't follow me.
Yeah.
You can't follow both of us and think that you're going to get any place, which is a huge problem today with social media, because people will listen to 3 or 4 or 5 influencers, 4 of which don't make any money. Like they're more interested in likes and comments than they are a bank account. I'm not interested in the influence. Like I've never considered myself an influencer. I've considered myself a businessman. Mm. So I want to make money. I want my companies to make money. I want the department to make money. I want the division to make money. To the degree that the company, the division, the household is profitable, the country's profitable, it means we're doing good things. Mm. And so when John comes and listens to me, and then listens to another guy says, oh, you need to save your money. And I'm like, you need to use every penny you have to grow your brand. If you got to go into debt to grow your brand, do that. If you got to borrow money to get connections, do that. And this other guy's saying, don't borrow money. Well, the guy's going to do nothing. Little Dave's going to do, he won't do anything because there's a conflict in his mind. Grant said do it. Dave said don't.
Yeah.
I won't do anything.
So what, the problem of maybe too much information, access too much.
Too much information that's conflicting, yeah. So he would be better off. So I gotta make it clear, Dave's wrong, to my public. Mm-hmm. Dave's wrong, but maybe Dave's right for you, but Dave's wrong for me because I wanna expand. Dave's right for you because you wanna stay small. Oh, by the way, staying small never works. So like
why does that never work?
Staying small?
Yeah.
Well, there's no proof on the planet that it ever worked.
Yeah.
There's not one person, there's not one company or person that stayed small and we know about it. Give me a name of a small person that made it.
I don't have one because I don't want to stay small either. So. Yeah.
Like nothing. No book, no program, no movie, nothing. There's no...
Evolution is growth. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the human purpose, I believe.
Yeah.
Evolution, which is growth. So a purpose of a good company is to get bigger to help more people.
Yeah. So there's no small doesn't work. I mean, no.
What about it, though? Because I'm sort of fascinated.
And this is what separates the wealthy from everybody.
Yeah.
The wealthy are like, hey, we want to get bigger. Mm. And the middle class is like, I just want to be happy. Like, what are you going for here? I just want to be happy. I just want to, listen to the self-talk here. I want to be happy. I want to make sure we got a nice place for the kids to grow up. I want to make sure they have bicycles, and we take one trip a year, and me and Hunky Dory, we love each other and everything's going to be good. And we take care of our family and our parents and everything's about us. This is how I grew up. Everything was about five people under one roof. There was no other world.
Yeah, that's not contribution. And they have to consume from producers to survive and sustain that unit.
Yeah, yeah. And my family's so big today. I have family all over the world. I walk into this Costas across the street to get a cup of coffee, man. These people just bomb me. Uncle G! Like, I got family members everywhere. I got people that I don't know that love me as much as my family loves me.
Mm.
You know, that follow more of what I do than maybe my sister does.
Yeah.
So we can build a bigger family and a bigger business, and that's all I'm saying. So with the hater thing, I tell my sister Diane all the time. I said, look, because she gets, when she sees people hating on me, my religion, or they hate on my my car I drive, or that I bought a plane, or whatever. I said, sis, you can't, if it bothers you, don't read it. Because probably 20% of these people are just idiots. You know, they don't, on any given day, they could be an idiot. Tomorrow, they could be fine. But today, whatever happened to them, I don't know. Mm. And some people just want to hate.
Yeah.
Because they quit on the thing that they wanted to do, and I remind them of the thing they quit on.
Mm. So there's one question I don't want to ask, and therefore I'm going to make myself ask it.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's kind of how I like to do it. And then we'll do a quick fire, if that's all right. So I just want to make sure you've got time before you go on stage. So the question I really don't want to ask, so I'm challenging myself to ask it, is about Scientology and your relationship with it.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you want to ask that question?
I think it's personal.
Uh-huh.
I think it's your decision, your choice.
Yeah,
I'm not really actually bothered about people's religions or faiths.
A lot of people are bothered by this.
Yeah, they are. I'm just saying I'm not.
I don't really
I don't really ever go into politics, religion, or marriage speak. I keep my gob shut. But I wanted to challenge myself to ask you something I wouldn't normally ask.
Yeah, sure.
So what is that all about? Why is it something you believe in? What do you believe in?
Yeah, because it's worked. It's worked for me.
So what is it? Why do you believe in it? And
it's I've been interested my whole life in who I am. Who I am. Why am I either winning in life or having troubles in life? You know, what does it take to make a marriage work? What does it take to make money work? What does it take to be happy? How can I find my purpose? Where's my energy at? Scientology's helped me with all those things.
Mm.
Like, I was a mess 25 years ago. And Scientology is a very practical. It is not what you see in the papers, the tabloids, CNN, or the quitter on the documentary, okay? Like, it's for people that are honest, that want to take a look at their life and know they have more potential. And if you believe you have more potential, what they do there is they show you ways to get rid of things that might be blocking the individual. They showed me how I could remove barriers in my life, self-imposed barriers, self-imposed destructive thinking, ideas, weird reactions that I had to situations, the inhibition to talk to people, the ability to have confidence in any room or in any interview, or to know how to communicate. These are simple courses, dude. Some of these courses, like one of the lies about it by the fake media is about Scientology is just for rich people. There's courses there that are $15 on communication that would change a person's life.
Yeah.
There's a $29 confidence course that I took that changed my ability to speak to people.
Mm.
There's courses on financial stress. I've taken these courses. I think this course was $19, okay? I mean, if this is gonna break you, you're fucked up already, okay?
Yeah.
And the difference in this religion and other religions is it doesn't impose how you think about God. This is not a Muslim God. This is not a Christian God. This is not, they leave that alone, okay? And like you could be a Catholic and Scientology would just make you a better Catholic.
Mm.
But what's it really going to do for you is it's going to make you a better husband, better father, better leader, better mother, better son.
So for me, that's personal development.
But look, man, when you get better, that is spiritual.
Mm. Yeah, but it's not necessarily religious, is it? spiritual and religious are not necessarily the same thing.
No, that, I agree with that. Mm. I agree with that. But to the degree that I have a spiritual experience, could be religious.
Mm.
Doesn't mean I'm in a church.
No.
It doesn't mean I'm in a pew. It doesn't mean I pray.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I have to donate to the church. You could do all those things.
Yeah.
But it's been unbelievable for me, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I know. I don't know what it does for you. I don't know what it would do for you. I don't know if it works for anybody else. I know, you know, the great secret. You want to know the great secret about Scientology that nobody knows?
I want to know the great secret about life, but let's do the Scientology first.
That's what they have there. They have the secret of life there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And what's that?
Well, but I'm going to tell you the other great secret. Okay. The only way you would find out the great secret of life.
Sorry, you know, I like speed. We've got to do this fast.
Yeah. So the great secret about Scientology is how many super, super successful business people use it.
Mm.
That they're not in the media. Nobody knows they're using it.
Yeah.
Because look, a successful businessman knows, or businesswoman knows, money's not everything. You know, you talked about me smiling. Like, money don't make you smile. You know, no amount of money is just going to make you. It's just not. Money's dead. And so you got to be happy inside.
Mm.
And so I don't ever talk about being happy. Like, never. Who's talking about being happy? People that are searching for happy. Because they're struggling with it. So, look, it's made me happier. It's made me, I can handle stress. People put those blood pressure things on me. Doctors are like, I know this thing's going to go off. They're like, I can't even find your pulse. Like, your blood pressure's so low.
Yeah.
My health is good. You know, I'm a happy guy. I don't use drugs. My marriage is working. My kids love me. Some of my customers love me, you know, so it's just made my life better, man.
Yeah. Great. I'm glad I asked it.
I'm glad you asked it, man. I'm sorry you were scared to ask it.
I wasn't scared.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
Wait till you see the comments, though. Wait till you see the people that comment. Oh, my God, I'm never following
you. I like to challenge myself to go in places. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to sit here and talk about business and money and relationships. Yeah. With you the whole time, and all the other stuff I'm not really that interested
in. Yeah, and you,
so which is why I pulled some of that in, challenge myself.
And notice, I never go around promoting Scientology to anybody. So the only time I ever talk about it is when it's brought up to me.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, hey, I gotta know.
Yeah.
You know, like you did.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's cool, man.
But mine was to challenge myself to ask something, something different.
That's awesome, man.
Cool, so we'll do quick fire, because one way, sure. So you have an accounting degree. Did that help you build your empire? Was it a great thing for you? No.
It did give me confidence, though. It did give me confidence that I don't need to turn my accounting over to somebody else to know. Like, I can let them do the work, but I know how I can play the game.
Yeah. Okay. What's the difference between someone who's made $1 million and someone who's made $100 million?
99.
A lot more 99, than that.
Huh? No, there's a lot. There's, you know, possibility. Possibility. Once you do $1 million, first of all, $1 million, all you're going to do with $1 million is you're going to find out how scared you are and how little you know.
Yeah.
So the only people that think $1 million is a lot of money is people that don't have it.
Yeah.
Because anybody that has
it's like, nothing. A million pounds.
Fucking nothing.
Yeah, $1 million, even less
dollars,
than
million pounds, million, whatever.
Yeah. You can't live on that. You can't.
Your audience is going to hate you more for that statement than anything I've said today.
That's fine, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You can't live 40 years on £1 million.
The only people that think you can live on £1 million are the people that don't have £1 million.
Yeah.
So now, what's the difference between that and 100? Everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's the difference between 100 and 400? Even more.
Yeah, we'll talk about that the next one we do.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I know the answer is because you mentioned it, but what's your attitude to fear and risk?
You gotta take risk. The best way to stay out of harm's way is to be the most dangerous person in the room.
Right. I like that.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Do you ever, though, sometimes think, man, I'm taking too big a risk here?
Every deal I do.
Yeah.
Every deal I do.
To make you feel alive?
No, I know I'm alive. I just you know, like when you take on an arena and you're like, I'm going to book, there's 5,000 people here.
Mm.
Okay. My gig had 7 times that many people, 35,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, I sold out an arena as big as Jay-Z and Beyonce would sell out. The difference is I had them there for 3 days. They have them there for 2 hours.
Mm.
On Super Bowl weekend, our biggest football, you know, you guys laugh at our football, but we love it, right? So the biggest sports weekend in the United States of America, Super Bowl weekend. Mm. I held my event on that weekend. Freaking insane.
Yeah. I know this is pedantic, but you chuckled about the football thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you throw it and we kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. No, you're right. You're right. No, I totally agree. Yeah. You're right. You guys are right. We're not football.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
By the time we're kicking the ball, we're losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should have been pass ball.
Yeah.
But anyway, I booked that place for 35,000 people. I sweated that for 365 days.
Mm.
Every day, I said, man, I made the wrong decision. I should not have done this. Literally, all the way up till the day the event started.
Yeah.
35,000 people is a lot of people. You do events.
Mm.
Scariest thing a human being can do on this planet
is an event.
Is an event.
It definitely
There's
is.
Nothing scary. God,
what if you have a tube strike, a bomb scare, you've put your 100 grand or your million or more in? Yeah.
10 million.
10 million.
I spent 10 million on that event. Yeah, I got 6 million in this Las Vegas event.
We need to 10x our events, don't we? I'm on that path, Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben wanted me to say this, and actually I should have said it at the start, but you just wanted me to make reference to the room we're in, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because as a director, you don't love this room, do you?
It's all right.
This room? Yeah. This room's fantastic.
Actually, these are good though, aren't they? We should take this mirror.
Dude, and nobody's looking at this room. Right now, man. They're listening to the interview, man. You've talked about everything from money to hundreds of millions of dollars to haters.
We've covered a lot of stuff.
To Scientology to my smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, nobody cares about this room.
No. Touché.
And you know, that's a cool thing about, you know, like I can be in any space today.
Yeah.
You know, I used to not be comfortable enough to be in any space with wherever it's five people or 5,000 people or 35,000 people. My kids, my 8-year-old spoke to 35,000 people, wrote her own script, walked out, delivered a 3-minute presentation to 35,000 people, and was like, the confidence that instills in a human being, man.
So that's
she walked out, check it out. She walks out and says, they clap for her, right? And she's like, that's all y'all got? 8 years old, just throwing swag.
That's my next question, actually, and we're on quickfire.
That means I'm supposed to do a quick answer?
Well, you can answer whatever you want.
Okay.
I just want, what's the main thing you want to teach your kids?
I don't really want to teach them anything.
No?
No. I just want them they'll see Papa. They'll see how Papa runs. I don't need to tell them anything. They emulate, they copy.
Mm.
So they'll see me. I don't want to tell them anything.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you see how I live my life? Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, but you ain't gonna get the company if you don't act like me. Somebody's gonna get it, but it won't be you if you're gonna act like a little dick.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll have to earn that. They will not get my money. I will not turn all that over to them. They already earn a check from Cardone Capital. They earn that.
Yeah.
So what I do is I teach them through doing. We were in Fiji. We did 19 countries this year. And so they roll with us. And they're paid for that. That's part of their, they got to get through school and they get paid. They get rewarded for some of the things they do. And then we'll give them little things that they can do along the way that are fun, where they earn money, where I can teach them about money. I don't teach them verbally about money.
Yeah.
I give them the experience. So there was 20 things they had to do, one of which was to catch a fish with their hands in Fiji, okay? And so, and that was the completion of the deal. I said, once you do this, this is your last drill, you earn $10,000.
Yeah.
The $10,000 will go into Cardone Capital. Cardone Capital will pay you every month.
Yeah.
You will live off of what Cardone Capital pays you.
Mm.
You will earn the money once, it will pay you forever.
Yeah.
They've each caught a fish in their hands. They kind of scammed the whole system. So
leverage.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So they got their first check this month, $23.
Great.
Okay.
Passive income.
8 and 10. They looked at it. I sent them a check. I don't wire it because I want them to see it.
Yeah. Right?
And they're like, what do we do with this? they don't know any about a check.
Yeah.
They're like, what do we do? How do we get the money? And I said, what do you want me to do with the money? They're like, reinvest it.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, put it back in. I said, do you understand you caught a fish one time? It took them hours to catch this fish. It took them hours to do it. I said, do you understand it's going to pay you this month? That fish. Next month. 3 months from now. 4 months from now. When she's 10, Sabrina's 10. When she's 20, she'll still be getting a check from that fish, and that fish will be dead.
Yeah.
The fish that keeps on giving.
Love it.
So now they're trying to figure out, how do I earn more money to put more money in the fund so I get more cash?
Yeah.
Because I don't want them reinvesting. I want them to spend the money.
Yeah.
The $23.
What, to get the benefit of it?
Yeah, I want you to spend the money.
Yeah.
You could spend all the passive money you want. As long as you only spend passive money, which we could do a whole show on this.
Yeah, yeah. People are spending capital instead of income.
Only spend passive income. Like, I bought this watch, okay?
Richard,
I bought this Richard.
Yeah.
I bought the Richard, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? The fucking stupid.
180,000.
No, man, like stop it.
Yeah, it's an RM11, isn't it?
This one, there's only 15 in this one, okay? So,
Yeah, I have an 11. Oh, this is not an 11.
There's 15 of those.
Oh,
you're way off.
It's a 4, yeah.
So anyway, he's trying to pick it up. But I said, okay, it's stupid. This is how I spend stupid money. I love this watch, by the way. This is so classic.
Thank you.
Okay, I can buy two of them. This is my deal. I have to be able to buy two of them. This is the only time I'll do something stupid. Yeah. I got to be able to buy two of them. I have to be able to pay cash. It has to come out of passive income only.
Yeah.
And I need to still say that it's just stupid. And then I can do it.
Yeah, it looks like the 11, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not.
Much.
What's the function difference? What's the two?
I don't know, dude.
You don't care.
Fucking
So how much are they US?
Stupid, dude.
250?
I can't even say it now.
Yeah, of course you can.
Keep going.
500?
Yeah.
500, yeah.
Stupid. 15 of them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they've gone up like crazy. Yeah, the 11s.
Whatever.
The RMs.
Yeah. It's all stupid.
Yeah. All right. Stupid. Alive and dead, who'd you like to spend a whole day with?
Alive and dead. I mean, I'd love to spend a day with my dad, you know. Alive? Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I'd love to spend a day with Jay-Z. I wouldn't want a photo from him.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hang out with
him. Yeah, I don't do that. Like, don't ask people for photos if I've got 10
minutes
with him.
Yeah, you do. You're going to get one with me before I leave.
I've already got you looking at my watch like this and drooling over it. No, I'll have a photo after I've spent 2 hours with them if they want it. I won't have a photo with them if I've got 2 minutes with them.
Yeah, that's
I'll talk to them and ask them a question.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay-Z, great. Something...
Even Kanye. He's kind of drifting off. He's getting a little weird right now. But anyway, I love Kanye's music. Yeah. Old Kanye, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, you putting it out there, it probably happened, wouldn't it?
I doubt it.
I just started putting on my social media, I want to speak to this person, I want to speak to that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, push myself to do more.
We got Kevin Hart coming to my next conference.
Great.
Yeah.
So someone normally knows someone, don't they?
Yeah. I probably got Pitbull coming. I had lunch with him the other day. He's fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. He's like, what do you want me to do with the deal? I'm like, I don't want you to sing and dance. I just want to talk business with you.
Yeah.
Like, his business story is unbelievable.
Yeah. So I'd like to give you two gifts.
Oh, please, man.
So
I hope it's not half a cookie right
now. No, I ate that half. I'm trying to stay lean.
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, I just licked it.
That's, that's nice. Here, let me have the rest of it.
So... two documentaries I've watched which have completely changed me. One was the Alexander McQueen documentary, Get It On.
Haven't seen it.
No, so that's one gift that I want to give to you. The guy, I mean, he committed suicide at 40. I turned 40 this year. And it was a big fuel for me having a really big year.
Yeah.
Everyone I've recommended that documentary to, it blows them away. So the Alexander McQueen one. He's my dead guy if I could meet someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And alive, there's a chap called Billy Munger in the UK who was a Formula 4 racing driver, had a crash, both of his legs amputated.
Oh, wow.
And then hustled to get the law changed so that disabled people could drive, got him back in Formula 3 and is winning races.
Wow.
And I've got him agreed to do the podcast.
Wow.
He's another guy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and people like that, just the world needs to know about people like that a bit more. So if you get a chance to watch their documentaries.
Thank you for those gifts.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, do you watch documentaries? Do you like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I will. I didn't watch the Michael Jackson documentary because I don't think it's fair.
No.
To do a guy without him being able to defend himself.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah. But I mean, I like watching the ones where you learn stuff. You learn about people.
Yeah,
you learn
I love
about
that.
Business.
Love that.
Yeah. Okay. Best book you've ever read?
God, man, I've read so many good books. I mean, there's a book I read on nanotechnology that just like freaked me out. Like, I loved it so much. I read a lot of black ops books too. Yeah. I like that. Like, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing right now, I'd be a black ops.
Yeah.
You know, I'd want to be like,
Yeah.
You know.
Love it. Okay. I've got here, but I've kind of taken your fire a bit, but I'll ask it anyway. Best documentary you've ever watched?
Best documentary? Probably that one where the guy that brought Elvis out, what's the name of the dude? Jerry, I forget his last name right now. He died a couple years ago, but he was a promoter.
Mm.
I loved his story.
Have you seen
the Bob Hope documentary? That was awesome too.
Yeah.
He grew up dirt poor. You know, right. You remember Bob Hope?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
This is a selfish question because I just love watching all the documentaries.
Oh, yeah,
so I want to. This is really for me.
Yeah.
Have you seen Supermensch? He promoted a lot of bands.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's a brilliant one.
Yeah.
He promoted Ozzy.
Okay.
And you know, got him huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you watch a lot of TV.
Just documentaries where you learn.
Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not wasting my life watching sitcoms.
Okay.
Best advice and worst advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever gotten was, I mean, I've had a lot of good advice, but probably buy the plane.
Yeah.
From my buddy.
And worst?
Also, my uncle, when I was 31, He said, hey, you need to learn how, you need to start investing money now. You get your money to work.
Yeah.
And then the worst advice I've ever been given was, hey, bigger's not better. The guy, Phil told me, he's like, hey, bigger's not better, Grant. I said, did you bust out? He's like, yeah, I did. He said, yeah. I went bigger and he had to file bankruptcy.
Yeah. If you had to bust out, what would you do?
What would I do? Well, I'd negotiate.
Mm. I
mean, I'd negotiate. That's what I would do.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to bust out.
No.
My deal's too, like I practice extreme, like a lot of, I'm very practical.
Yeah.
So the income I have from the properties could float me for, I every day I wake up, please bring recession on. Please. It is time.
What's the accent?
Please. I don't know. What accent is that?
I don't know.
Please. When I pray, I go into an accent.
Yeah.
I think it gives me access. Please, 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 recession.
Yeah.
I don't know what accent.
That's good. Guy. Is there one thing in the world you'd like to change?
Yeah, financial illiteracy.
Mm.
Like if I could, look, the whole thing's a big scam. The money thing's a big scam. And if I could change people, to get people to think like, dude, you can have a lot of money. Like that, I would love to change that idea. I don't care who people are.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I have money is proof. Like the financial condition that I am is proof to the entire planet that anybody can do this.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Two more. I'm still annoyed. I'm annoyed with myself. I got the watch wrong. I'm normally good on the watches.
Well, what happened about the watch?
Well, I sold you wrong. I told you it was an 11.
Oh, what is it?
I thought it was an 11, but it's a 4.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
There is.
That's all good. We all learn, don't we? There's always more to learn.
You know watches better than I do.
Sometimes.
I don't even know what I'm wearing.
So I've started asking people this. It's really fun. Well, for me, if there's any one person you would recommend to come on this podcast and show, who would it be? Who do you think I should talk to?
Man, who have I done a great podcast with? Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
No, you ought to get Ty. Ty's fun.
Yeah. You
know, he's completely different, that dude, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the interview you do, you're great at it.
Thank you.
Doing interviews is so hard for me.
Yeah.
You've done that Tim Story. Have you done Tim?
No.
Tim Grover. Those guys are
okay,
great.
Cool. We'll make a note of those.
I don't know, successful people.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. I just like to challenge myself to think outside of my sphere of who I might normally want to get.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, this is quite a selfish act a lot of the time. I just talk to people I want to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you say the interview thing's hard. For me, it's not because I'm just talking to people I want to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
But then sometimes I challenge myself and get someone maybe I don't think I like, or maybe I don't think fits the show concept.
Yeah,
to
just
challenge myself to stay growing.
What happens to you when you're interviewing somebody and you disagree with what they're saying? Like you know it's total bullshit.
I haven't had a lot of that.
Oh my God, I have.
Yeah.
I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Call them straight out then.
I can't help myself.
No,
I can't help myself.
I think I would. I'm probably not as directly as you. I'd probably pose a question.
Yeah, yeah. I did one interview where I didn't call the guy out and I regret it so much because he's such a criminal.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
All right. This podcast is all about being disruptive.
Yeah.
So what does that word mean to you?
It means you're going to change things, you know. But people need to you need to be profitable, not just disruptive.
Mm.
Like, because if you're not profitable, you're not going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are just trying to make a lot of. It's like the influencer. They want to be an influencer, dude. If you don't make money, you're not going to influence much for very long.
Mm.
So I know there's this whole movement right now to like content, a lot of content, make it free. You don't need to make money on it. You need to make money. Mm. Everybody needs to make money. You cannot disrupt without economics.
Yeah. Grant, I've had a great time.
Come on, man.
Thank you very much.
Love you, man.
You too. Thank you.